We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
That overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Wine.
You know, this is a little bit non-traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life. Founder.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other will both get value from the episode.
How are you doing? How's your Monday treating you?
So far, so good.
Despite starting the day with water dripping down the ceiling of our kitchen?
Yeah.
Or pouring, I should say.
Out of a light, you know, a can light. It was just coming right between the bulbs. So you're waiting for something to start sparking, but it never did. Yeah, there was that. There was dropping off my car at the mechanic to get the side mirror fixed because it got smacked by a car when it was parked on the street. And then so far, so good today with our email queues. Monday mornings are always the trickiest days because a lot of sending happens. And so far, we're holding up well. So some pluses and some minuses, I'd say.
Hey, good deal, man. At least no one was injured in the kitchen flood of 2017.
I know. And the nice part is, you know, I walk in the door from dropping one of our kids off at essentially it's what science and math. It's like a STEM program before school. And I walk back in and you're at yoga. And our six-year-old who was here with your parents, but he had seen the water come down and had grabbed a bowl and put it underneath it. And I was like really proud of him for his quick thinking and doing the right thing. Like he didn't just let water pour all over the wood floor. You know, it was pretty cool.
He's a smart kid. I think we should keep him.
Yeah, indeed.
So I thought we might talk about ADHD today. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think that's good. I think we should probably start by talking about why this might be relevant to someone listening to this podcast.
Talking about why we're talking about it.
Right.
The meta level.
Yeah, just kind of the justification, you know, of why someone should spend the next 20 or so minutes kind of listening to us delve into this, what they might be able to take away or what this could teach someone.
Yeah. So one of the reasons that I think it's important to talk about is Michael Freeman, who is a clinical faculty. He's a clinical psychiatrist and a psychologist out of UCSF. He was a guest on episode 68 in the podcast, but he is, you know, to my knowledge, please correct me if I'm wrong, but to my knowledge, he is really only the reputable scientist that is doing, you know, high quality research on mental health in the entrepreneurial and in the founder community. So again, if there are other resources, please send them to me. But as far as I know, Michael Freeman is the guy. And one of his findings, he did a survey looking at, you know, over 200 entrepreneurs and comparing them to a group of normals, a group of people who are not entrepreneurs. And one of the most significant differences that he found was in the reports of ADD or ADHD type symptoms. So he found that 29% of the entrepreneur sample met the criteria for ADD or ADHD. And that was compared to 5% in the comparison sample. So that is a pretty stark difference.
Yeah, that's crazy. What a huge difference.
And I think it's important to talk about because I think it's a very misunderstood diagnosis. And especially when the way that it's applied to children, there's certainly lots of debate about whether it's a real thing or not. And, you know, there's some complexity to some stigma around it in particular. So I think it's important just to kind of inform people about what it looks like and when it's a disorder versus when it's, you know, just sort of a not disorder, but a maybe behavior profile. And I think in the entrepreneurs I know, you do see this pattern of a really fast moving mind, a hyper mind, so to speak, which does not mean pathology, but it can mean pathology. So, wow, that was really poorly worded whole situation. Save me from myself.
By pathology, because some folks may not know the colloquial definition of that, but it means that it is something that is negatively impacting your life, or that it's something that would appear in the DSM, you know, your manual of psychology, and that could be treated or should be treated. Am I summarizing that correctly?
Everything that we consider a disorder or pathological exists on a continuum. So depression exists on a continuum. ADHD exists on a continuum. For some person, they might have this really fast moving mind and they may look like they have ADHD, but not actually experience any negative outcomes. It's not a problem in their life. It's a disorder when it becomes problematic, like when someone is unable to function, when they're unable to work, when they're unable to maintain their relationships because the way that their mind is functioning is so intrusive or out of sync with their community and what the expectations are in their life.
Right. So when it's like disrupting their life, and that's when you say like you can have ADHD and deal with it and it may not impact you negatively or just have minimal implications that you kind of learn to deal with and structure your life around, or it can have kind of a major impact on you and those around you. And that's when I think in both cases we're talking, you know, those are the reasons we're talking about it today. But if it is something that is impacting you today, maybe a discussion of a way to kind of identify it in yourself and or someone around you, you know, whether it's your kids or a spouse or a co-founder, and then trying to figure out some strategies for coping with it.
Yeah. So let's take a step back and talk about like what it is. So we talk about, there are two cousin diagnoses, I should say, attention deficit disorder, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. So there's an attention component and then a hyperactivity slash impulsivity like piece. So when we talk about problems with attention, we're talking about folks who have so much difficulty attending to their activities that they might make careless mistakes, have a lot of difficulty attending to details, problems with sustained attention. So begin something, but can't finish it, can't follow through on a task that, you know, lasts longer than 20 minutes, might have difficulty following through on instructions because they can't attend or remember all of the steps. Don't seem to listen when you're talking to them. And I think this is a particularly frustrating component for parents who have children with some of these symptoms. Like, you know, you might be looking right at them, talking to them, giving them an instruction, and it just looks like there's nobody home. Like they're just not at all listening. Attention can also look like difficulty organizing tasks. So putting things into a sequence of tasks and being able to follow through. Practically, this looks like losing things, losing your keys, losing your homework, losing your wallet, losing your phone, and then lots of forgetfulness in daily activities, forgetting trash day, forgetting, on the outer edges, like forgetting to pick your kids up from school, forgetting to follow through on things that maybe you planned to do. So if we could sort of categorize or summarize the attention component, it looks a lot like a brain that's just not fully tuned in to what's happening around them, to what's happening in the moment. Does that make sense? Or any questions or comments about that?
No, that definitely makes sense. I mean, I've known people, both children and adults, who I think, you know, probably fit this pretty well. And I can imagine that it's pretty frustrating for the person and, you know, for those interacting with them and trying to kind of give instructions and then feel like maybe you're not heard. And we're just, I could see this being something that you'd really want to figure out some systems, whether those systems are just things that you can implement yourself to kind of not be forgetful because you just use your calendar really well and you know that you're going to forget things, or, you know, systems for, like, I don't think I have ADD at all, but I forget a lot of things. I don't keep a lot of stuff in my head that I don't really need to remember. And so I have entire systems for like leaving the house where I have a whole checklist of like always bring this stuff, because otherwise I'll walk out without a laptop or without sunglasses or without something like that. And so I'm imagining developing systems like that could help to a certain extent. And then I'm sure there are cases that are just more severe than that, that require some type of, you know, medical intervention, so to speak.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a phenomenon that's treatable, you know, with behavioral systems in place, sometimes medicine. We can talk about that more in a minute, but I want to maybe finish explaining a little bit of what this looks like by talking about the hyperactivity or impulsivity component. So this can co-occur with attention difficulties or can be the sort of primary problem. So we see a lot of like hyper body movement, a lot of fidgeting, sort of difficulty sitting still in contexts where sitting still is expected or is normal. Lots of restless movement in the body. Difficulty being quiet. You can see how this would play out in a classroom or even in a workplace. It looks like a body that's really like on the go or sort of driven by a motor, like lots of movement, sometimes repetitive movement, difficulty controlling movement. And then somebody who is experiencing some hyperactivity or impulsivity may talk excessively, may have difficulty kind of filtering their thoughts, may have sort of a stream of consciousness always flowing that's not filtered very well. There's a lot of interrupting of other people, difficulty taking turns, blurting out answers or responses before a question's been completed. So behaviorally, it looks a lot like on the go, on the go, on the go, and lots of difficulty filtering both physical movement and speech.
Yeah, I could see this feeling like, you know, especially if you were working with someone, whether it's a co-founder or a coworker or a boss or something, feeling like someone's not listening to you and talking over you all the time would feel rude and dismissive, but it could very well just be that the circuits in their head are running wild, in essence, and they're not noticing nor intentionally doing these things.
Right, not meaning to be a jerk, but just not being able to filter very well. So a couple of other things that are important in kind of understanding this and whether or not it kind of crosses over into problematic. These symptoms are supposed to be present across two domains of life. So difficulty at home and difficulty at work. You know, if it's just like one context in your life, then it's really important to look at what's going wrong in that context. Like if you're totally on top of things at work, but at home you're really forgetful and disorganized, that looks more like sort of a lack of fit between how that context or situation is organized and how your brain is functioning, rather than some kind of abnormality in your brain function that's more, you know, specific to you. So we're always looking at context and person and how the sort of difficulties show up across domains of life. These symptoms are also supposed to be present before age 12. So this is something that's developmental. If we're talking about like, quote unquote, a real disorder, it's usually developmentally pervasive. Sometimes there are, you know, adult onset cases, but usually you can kind of see this pattern across the lifespan. And then here's an important one. For this to be diagnosed as ADD or ADHD, it has to exist for more than 6 months. And I think that's important because on a day when I'm really stressed, I have a lot of difficulty paying attention. So, you know, this isn't a stressed day. You want to consider whether your anxiety is high, whether you're experiencing some depression, whether you've had too much caffeine, whether you've not slept well, a lack of exercise, a poor diet, any of those lifestyle things can affect the functioning of your brain and your life. So again, always look at the most obvious things first. Is there a way I can take better care of myself? Am I getting enough sleep? Am I caring for my body? Because focus and attention are the first things to go. That's higher order cognition. And they go quickly when the body is not being nourished and cared for the way that it needs to be.
Got it. So if someone, you know, heard this list of symptoms, which we should include in the show notes, because this, you know, there's a lot of bullets and a lot of information being thrown out. But if someone hears that and they think, oh my gosh, this, I have like 90% of these, you're saying the first thing they should do is get more sleep, ease off the caffeine, kind of try to eliminate these things first to figure out if it's just they're jacking with their own body chemistry. Is that the idea?
Yeah. I mean, I think the first question is like, how long has this been a problem? And if it's been a problem for a long time and you're just having this like aha moment, that's different than, oh man, today or this week or this month, I'm really out of it. I can't focus. Then if it's a more acute problem or temporary problem, then we want to look at all the lifestyle things and mess with those first. Like really make sure that you're ruling out any other probable cause that would be affecting your capacity to pay attention.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. There's like a, how much is it impacting you in the two domains of life, as you said, and are there some easier fixes? Because if you go see a psychologist or a psychiatrist, there's obviously drugs you can take to help it. But if there's a way to fix it without that, it certainly seems like that'd be a better option.
Yeah, I think, you know, ADD, ADHD gets a really bad rap in some circles, and probably rightfully so, because there's another component that goes into making a diagnosis, and that's that these problems have to be inconsistent with the developmental level of the person. So when we're talking about kids, there's often this debate between man, maybe this kid just needs more exercise, like needs more recess, needs more big body movement. And most 6-7-year-olds really don't have bodies and brains that are set up to sit at a desk for 5 or 6 hours a day. But sometimes our schools have expectations that are not really developmentally informed. So then we have kids that are not functioning in school because the expectations aren't really in line with what most 6-7-8-year-olds should be doing with their minds and their bodies. So, you know, some people will critique this diagnosis and say, like, we're just diagnosing every kid with ADHD because they can't sit down and behave. And I think there's really something to that critique. And I think there's something to be said about the kinds of things that we expect children to be able to do that are really not at all in line with normal expectations. And then, of course, they can't attend. Of course, they can't sit still. They're not meant to sit still at that age. So I guess for people who are listening, who are kind of like, I'm with you on the concern about overusing this diagnosis and sort of pathologizing both grownups and people who are having a normative reaction to unusual or unreasonable expectations of like sitting still in a cubicle or at a desk all day. That's not really how our bodies are meant to behave.
Yeah, that was going to be my next thing was it's not just kids in school. I feel like it's grownups at work. Like how natural of a state is that for everyone? You know, and I wonder if the stat you mentioned earlier where it's like there's a 5% occurrence of ADD, ADHD, at least in that guy, in Michael Freeman's comparison samples, let's just assume that's across the U.S. I know that's probably not completely accurate, but 5%, and then it's 29% for founders. Is that like adaptive behavior? You know, if you're trying to work at a cubicle for 5 years, you go through 5 jobs and you're thinking, boy, I really don't fit in. I'm going to bounce and do my own thing because then I can be in control of how I work and how, you know, how I arrange things, and I can work from home or I can work alone. I mean, you think that's part of it?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's some like, yeah, there's some self-selection here that some of these characteristics make it, like you say, sort of intolerable to do the 9-to-5, sit in a cube, follow someone else's expectations lifestyle. So if you are smart and have great ideas, you can take your big active brain and do something entrepreneurial with it. And then it can be quite adaptive because, again, you can sort of make your own schedule. You can switch places often. You can change up the routine in a way that, you know, that works better for how your mind functions. So that, you know, there's a self-selection here. I think there's also some adaptiveness to some of these quote unquote symptoms. You know, I think when we talk about this on the go drivenness, not necessarily the excessive talking, but that sense in which there's a mind that's moving really quickly. You know, I think those are some entrepreneurial traits that a lot of folks have because they're just a very active mind. So I don't in any way want to pathologize those traits, except to say that sometimes they go too far over the spectrum and cause a lot of trouble in, you know, in relationships and in functioning.
Yeah, that's a thing. I could see, I mean, any number of kind of disorders or pathologies, I could see being adaptive to being an entrepreneur, meaning that the ADHD could allow you to kind of bounce around to a lot of things, which is often required, right? It's the ability to kind of switch back and forth quickly. I think of the movie The Big Short, where one of the characters has Asperger's, but it allows him to be deep, or is it autism? It's on the spectrum, basically. And it allows him to be extremely deeply focused on numbers. And as a result, he's like a phenomenal hedge fund manager, you know?
There are all kinds of different ways that brains are made. There certainly is not one norm that we should all aspire to. I think the reason that we talk about this is it causing distress? Is it causing, you know, deep feelings of like shame? Is it causing difficulties in life functioning? That's when we want to say, okay, maybe it's time to like go see a psychologist and practice some of these behavioral interventions, practice some different organizational strategies. There are non-medical ways that can be learned to help mitigate some of the downsides of ADD and ADHD. And then there are medicines. There are medicines that do help the brain kind of calm down a little bit. And I'm very, very practical, sort of Occam's razor about medicine. I say if it helps, use it. I'm cautious about medicating children. I like to look at all of the other options before medicine. But when you get to the point where you've tried lots of things and you're still really suffering, I think, you know, medication exists for a reason and it can be helpful. So that's my It's all I say about it. But again, if you're listening to this and you're thinking like, oh my gosh, this is me. I've been struggling with this my whole life. My spouse is about to kill me because she feels like I'm not listening to her, or he feels like I don't follow through on what I say, then it might be worth digging into this deeper and having a conversation with your doctor or going to see someone for a more formal evaluation, just to see if this is something, there's some tools and skills that you can gain that might be helpful.
And just to wrap us up here, this episode is going live shortly before MicroConf in Las Vegas, which is happening. We actually have two conferences. There's a starter edition and a growth edition. If you go to microconf.com, you can see, you know, think about whether or not you might want to go. Sherry and I are attending the conferences, and Sherry will actually be available for one-on-ones if you're interested in speaking with her. You can email her at sherry@sherrywalling.com. It's spelled like the wine, S-H-E-R-R-Y. And if you're there, be sure to, you know, approach Sherry and I and say hi. We always love talking to listeners. And those dates are April 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th in Las Vegas. And there are still a few tickets available for the conferences.
Vegas, baby, Vegas.
Yep. It's going to be fun.
Speaking of hyperactive.
Oh, Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas.
It makes all of us ADHD.
Yeah, that is what it feels like to have ADHD, to be in Vegas.
Yeah, it's like the volume's up to 11.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.